All right, good morning. I'm excited about Vacation Bible School for sure. So, Star Wars, Battleship, awesome. Things looks good. Who's building those? Who built that? Anybody? Duana, Trish? Probably. Yeah, that's awesome, isn't it? Love it, love it. And like everyone else has said, thank you guys for breakfast this morning. It was awesome. And thank you, ladies, very much. Appreciate it. And we're going to be in the book of John. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of John. John chapter 3. It may seem like I'm going to be talking mainly to fathers and potential fathers and grandfathers this morning. So ladies, you know, give me a good amen once in a while, but I think this will apply to you as well. But it may come across as a Father's Day message, which is kind of what it really is. But so that's what I feel like the Lord's put in my heart. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, as always, as I say almost every time. We just are so grateful and thankful for the opportunity to come into this building and in a free country, we could openly worship you and read and study about you and allow the Word of God to correct us and help us, encourage us and motivate us and point us in the right direction and counsel us and give us comfort and strength. And, well, we thank you for that. Thank you for our church family, Father. And pray for the ones that are traveling and going out and spending some time with family and vacationing in the summer. We're just ask for your blessings this morning. Father, help me. Help me teach this morning. I desperately need your help. And Lord, we just thank you. We love you. Praise you and ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, we'll be in the book of John, chapter 3. Everybody found chapter 3. Verse 16. I didn't want to start out with John 3:16 because you probably wouldn't open your Bible then, right? Or maybe you would. I don't know. It's John 3:16, which probably 99% of the folks in here have that one memorized, but we're going to read it anyway and we're going to talk about it this morning. So John 3:16, the New King James Version, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Amen? Amen. So today's message, I normally don't entitle the messages, but maybe I need to start doing that for Derry to help put it on the website and, you know, that kind of thing. So today's message is called The Perfect Father. And as you all know, I'm not a perfect father. And I'm assuming that you are not either. Can I get amen? Okay, I know that we all make mistakes. And for most fathers, we make a ton of mistakes. And some of us will, as we go along learning how to be a dad and how to be a husband and a father, we'll look to secular programs and secular books. And that's not all bad. There's some good stuff out there that you can learn from. I would encourage you to try to stick with the Christian, Bible-based, family, fatherhood, husband information. I've been down that trail many, many times, and there's some really crazy wild stuff out there. So stick with, and my best advice is to stick with good biblical counseling from a Christian perspective from the Word of God. I know that at the beginning of my Christian walk in trying to learn how to be a father and try to be a husband, I had a very poor example, bless him, and but I really didn't know how to be a father. I didn't know how to be a husband. And I can tell you there's a lot of books at the very beginning who really, it really helped me. And some of you are familiar with Dr. Dobson's work, the focus on the family when that was going real strong back in the 80s, 90s. And that sort of thing. But a lot of his books helped me a lot. And Tim and Beverly LaHaye, anybody familiar with their work? They had a lot of really good books about being a husband and that kind of thing. And so those were very helpful. You know, so, but today we want to look at one of the most popular, I hate to use that word, the most popular verses in the Bible, John 3:16. And we're going to look at this because it gives us an idea and an example of the perfect Father. Amen? So if you're a father, this verse, as we break it down, is going to help you a lot and to try to understand how to be a good dad. It teaches us four ways that we can really focus in and allow our Heavenly Father to teach us how to be a father or a grandfather. Okay, so we're talking to granddads too. Now, the first one, if you're taking notes, I always like folks to take notes. It's good because as soon as you know, the Lord can speak to your heart for sure, and the Holy Spirit can really give you revelation about certain things. But for most folks, you know, you forget about 70-80% of what I'm going to say as soon as you walk out that door. So I'm just planting that seed. So if you guys want to be good students and take good notes, that's awesome. So the first one, breaking down this scripture, is a father loves his children. In John 3:16, it starts out, "For God so loved the world." Now here's a fascinating fact for you. The moment our children is born, we love them, don't we? We love them. In fact, even when they're in their mother's womb, we love them. I can tell you funny stories of how I talk to my boys through Lynn's belly button. Oh, come on now, some of you guys, you know you did that. Don't leave me out there hanging. At least raise your hand. Or maybe not necessarily the belly button. Did you get down in her stomach and talk to them? "Hey, little boo-boo. I mean, raise your hand. Come on, you talk to me." Oh, I feel bad there now. But even today, if I'm friends with him on Facebook, even today, on this person's birthday, I'll put "Happy Belly Button Day." I mean, you know what? It's just funny to me. I don't know why. You have to be careful, though. I don't say it to some people. The point is, these little babies, they haven't done anything to earn your love. They didn't do anything. But you love them anyway. Why? Here's the key. It's because they're yours. And you continue to love them no matter what, don't you? Your children might disappoint you, but you'll continue to love them. The prodigal son is the great example in the Bible of this. They might frustrate you to no ends, as they say in the country, but you still love them, and you always will. Here's one main problem that men have, and I don't understand why. I kind of do, but still, it must be some kind of man thing, some kind of guy thing, you know, that somewhere down along the lines that we stop telling them that we love them. Now, some of you guys probably don't have a problem with that, but sometimes men do. All kind of reasons for that, and that's not the sermon for that. But I'm encouraging the guys, see, your children, no matter how old they get, they need to hear you say, "I love you." They need to hear that. See, it's like we assume that our children know that we love them because we allow them to hang around and eat all our food and tear up all our stuff. You know what I'm talking about? And then sometimes we express our love as a reward for certain types of behavior. I want to encourage you to watch out for that one. For example, our children might be really acting up, and we might say, if y'all just calm down, come on now, be good, and if you be good, we'll get a pizza tonight. Or we'll get some ice cream tonight. We have to be careful with that one. What we do is we start teaching our children that we love them based on these conditions. You have to be careful with that one. And then the other thing is the kids will start learning if they'll misbehave long enough, they'll get a pizza. And that's a tough one too. You see, men, fathers, grandfathers, and moms too, your kids can't read your feelings. They can only read your actions. They can't hear what you're thinking. They can only hear what you say. So, "I love you" is very powerful. It's important that fathers express their love to their children. It's very important. Our Heavenly Father expresses His love to us time and time again. Even in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve messed it up and sinned and got it all wrong, God still loved them. God still took care of them. He sacrificed in order for them to have clothing and cover their nakedness. Throughout Scripture, God affirms His love for His children. God tells us, here's the key, God tells us that He loves us, and then He shows us by His actions. He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins, so that we can spend eternity with Him. Now, maybe your earthly father didn't know how to express love for you. A lot of folks struggle with that. If so, you can be sure that he probably regrets it. But, everybody say but. Listen closely. But, do not make the mistake of transferring your earthly father's issues to your Heavenly Father. I'm going to read that again. I had to write that one down. So be sure not to transfer your earthly father's issues to your Heavenly Father. God loves you unconditionally. His grace is still amazing. And His grace is sufficient for each one of us. He said He loved you, and He backed it up with action. Regardless of the relationship you have or you had with your earthly father, you can have a personal, heart-to-heart relationship with your Heavenly Father. Y'all believe that? Absolutely. God loves you unconditionally. Why? You ready? Why does God love you unconditionally? He loves you just because you're you. Just because you are His. Bought and paid for with a price. You're adopted into the family of God. He's now Abba Father. You are His. He loves you because you are His. You're His child, His daughter, His son, and He loves you. That's what a father does. He loves his children. Dads, don't forget to show your children how much you love them. And don't forget to say, "I love you." Secondly, we got 4 points. Secondly, a father gives to his children. Jesus said in John 3:16, remember we're breaking this down. John 3:16, Jesus said, "God so loved the world that he" what? "Gave." So a father gives to his children. Now what did God give to us? His son. I'm going to keep repeating this because this is where we're at. His son, he sent Jesus to the world to die for our sins, so that we can be forgiven of our sins and we can live for Him in heaven forever and ever. That's God's ultimate gift to us. But it's not the only gift that He's given us. You might say, "What kind of gifts has God given me?" Well, look around. Right? Just look around. Take time to look around. Count your blessings. Make a gratitude list. God has given us the simple things like a home, a family, children, grandchildren, your own personal skills and talents and gifts. He's given us sunshine and rain. Maybe a little too much lately, right? Somebody said that. He's given us rain. It gives us warm weather and cold weather. This might sound kind of corny, but really, these are gifts from God. He's given us beautiful flowers and plants and trees. All kind of wonderful stuff that decorates this earth. He's given us birds to sing to us. He's given some weird things, like he's given us animals and insects to clean up after us. This is kind of a strange one, but he even put a hole in the atmosphere to give all the toxins that we dump into air a place to go so that we won't suffocate ourselves. And he made that perfect, unlike the... Anyway, I don't want to go there. God gives to us every day, my friends. He meets our needs and he answers our prayers and he gives to us. He takes care of our problems. He's a giving God. Now, if you're a father, listen closely. There's two basic things that you can give to your children. Now, I know there's a lot of things you can give to your children, but there is two basic things you can give to your children. Number one is your money. Number two is your time. Frankie said, hey, wait a minute. I give all that away now. But seriously, your money and your time. It's important that fathers, especially young fathers, understand this. Both are very important. An abundance of one doesn't negate the need for the other. Right? Amen. Your children need you to provide for them materially. And they need for you to be there emotionally. So they need both of those. Being a father requires sacrifice on our part. It does. There are some things in life as a father, and some of you know exactly what I mean. Sometimes there's things in life that we'll just have to do without. Because we have a greater obligation and a greater calling as a father, and that is to provide for our children. I still don't have a bass boat. I don't care really if I ever get one. I'm just joking. But when all the boys were little, well, I couldn't afford a bass boat. Anyone? That's all cool. As fathers, there's sacrifices that we need to make. And a lot of you guys have made those sacrifices already. And there'll be some sacrifices you'll need to make in the future. Even as a grandfather, there are certain sacrifices that you make. Guys, that's part of the job description. It is. Sometimes we have to man up about that. It's also part of the joy of being a father. Amen? That we can do for our children, even the small things. Financially, you can support them. Sometimes you struggle just to get enough money together for the football pads. And then sometimes you have a little abundance of money to be able to send them on a trip at school. And it makes you feel good as a father, don't it? That you actually have that little extra to do that. Your children may never fully understand how much you've sacrificed for them. They might not ever know. But you know what? Personally, I think that's the way it should be. I think that's the way it should be. A father gives to his children. He gives time and he gives his money. Both are essential, real important. And we have to be diligent to maintain that balance. You have to be able to make that balance. Now see, it would be easy as a father just to be the provider. Just to be the provider and let the wife raise the children. Nothing entirely wrong with that, but I don't think that's balanced because I think that the father needs to be there as a provider, yes, but I think the father needs to be there for those emotional times. They need to be emotionally engaged. The little boys and little girls, they need that. And when it's not there, there is a hole. there will be a hole. It might be a small hole in their soul, but it will be there. Your Heavenly Father is always available. If spending time with your Father isn't an option now, please keep that in mind, that your Heavenly Father is always available. You can call on the Lord Jesus at any time, and He's there. You can talk to Him about your troubles and your fears, your dreams, and God will listen. He is always available. A father gives, and He is there for His children, and God is always there for us. As I've said 1,000 times, He would never leave us and never forsake us. Amen? Thirdly, it's the third point. I just need you to listen to me on this one now, okay? No. A father has expectations for his children. John 3:16 is God's plan for salvation. He shows us what He does and what He did. He gave us His Son so that we may be saved and spend eternity with Him. But He expects something from us. And the scripture there is that whoever believes in Him. We have a role to play in this. We have to step out in faith and we have to believe. The Holy Spirit draws us into salvation, but we have to believe. And God doesn't expect anything that we can't give. See, we don't have the ability, the capability to save ourselves. We don't have the ability or capability to be perfect or be perfect fathers. None of us are, and we can't. And that's why we desperately need a Savior. But we do have the capacity to believe. The Bible says that God gives every man a measure of faith. And God expects us to act in faith and step out and be saved and believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. A good father has certain expectations for his children. A good father has goals and dreams for his children. Now, he isn't unreasonable about it. He doesn't demand more than his children can give. But he does. Some of you know what I mean. A good father does have certain levels of responsibility, and they expect certain things out of their children. Let me tell you a story. Just allow me to read this. There's a story about a man who succeeded in business beyond what most people could imagine, amassing a fortune of $1 billion. Along the way, he married 3 times and fathered 7 children. He provided for all of them financially, but he was emotionally absent as a father. He never expected much of them. He gave each child a no-strings-attached gift of $5 million on their 21st birthday. And each child squandered the money. Eventually, each child wound up deep in debt, resented their father, and eagerly waited for him to die so they could collect their share of his will. Though this man was a success in the eyes of the world, he was a failure as a father, and his children paid the price. This story is similar to the Old Testament story of Eli. Some of you remember that story. Eli was a man of God. He was a priest who served in the temple. And though Eli was a very faithful priest, he was a failure as a father. The sons of Eli had no respect for the law of God. They defiled the sacrifices, they extorted from those who brought offerings to God, and they slept with the women who served in the temple. And Eli knew about their behavior, but did nothing about it. As a result, God judged Eli, and you can read all about that in 1 Samuel. I've seen a lot of men. I've seen a lot of pastors in my counseling career, a lot of friends do just exactly like this. They put their position as a pastor over their family and their wife. I've seen so many of them fail. Their children wound up just running off in crazy land. God taught me years ago that my family is my number one ministry. I tell every preacher that I meet and have to counsel because they're looking at divorce or their kids are all running around. I'm telling you, I could probably say 20. My wife is my number one ministry above this church. And I hope you respect that. My children would be if they still lived in my house, but now they're on and with their own thing, you know. God's the number one thing in my life, and my wife is second, and the church is third. Amen? It has to be that way. It's the godly way. A father has responsibility to set standards for his children. He must say, this is the way, and nothing less is acceptable. It's the father's responsibility to lead by example. A father's attitude must be, do as I do, not always just do as I say. And Joshua, right? Joshua set the example. He said, for as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. A father expects his children to act like they belong to him. Just like our Heavenly Father expects that we belong to him. And finally, the fourth thing. A father prepares his children for the future. Looking at John 3:16, Jesus says that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has created a great future for us to spend eternity in heaven with him. He wants us to live with him. He's provided a way. He has showed us the way. He did this, as we said earlier, by sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross, be raised from the dead. We put the faith in Jesus, it gives us eternal life. Christianity isn't about man finding God. It's about God finding us and reaching us through His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, God has a future for each one of us. His future spent in heaven. In the same way that earthly fathers need to give direction for our children. There's three basic ways, I think, and we'll cover those real quickly. Three basic ways that I think an earthly father can give direction to their children. Number one, a father should help his child prepare spiritually for the future by bringing them up in a Christian atmosphere, encouraging them to be involved in church, and challenging them to grow in their personal relationship with Christ. Number two, a father should also help his child prepare for the future in his or her career. He should help his children identify their gifts and their skills and their abilities. Try to help their child understand how God created them and how God made them and what they would like to do as a career. Now let me stop right there and say something. Being a wife and a mother is a career. Amen? It is. In fact, it's one of the most rewarding careers. Being a stay-at-home mom and a mother, do not ever let anyone bring any negative light on that. That's the most important job and career there could be. A father should encourage his children, just like God encourages us. Now, number three, a father should also help the children prepare in developing relationships. A father should teach his children the kind of person that they want to be involved with, the kind of friends that they need to become friends with. See, without specific directions, they might not even know who they should marry or what kind of person they should be involved with. A father should be there to help with that. Our Heavenly Father has helped us, so we should help our children. Earthly fathers must help their children prepare for their future here on earth. Now, I'm closing. It says, God, let's sum this up. God gives us a blueprint for fatherhood because He is the perfect Father. He loves us, He gives to us, and expects us to follow Him. Amen? Now, these are just a few examples. We don't need to be dictators, but we need to be gentle and loving and caring father. Now, let me say this, and then we'll close. If your earthly father is gone, or he wasn't there for you, or maybe you didn't have a healthy relationship with him, you can take comfort in the fact that God is your Heavenly Father. And He is exactly what kind of God you need and what kind of God you want. He loves you unconditionally. He loves you. And God will help you. If you'll trust Him, He'll help you with just life in general. God loves your day-to-day lives. Amen? Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You that You have filled that role. You are our Heavenly Father, that we can look to You. Lord, I just pray for the folks out here who their father just struggled or was bad or didn't know how to be a father. Lord, I pray for the folks, Lord, that's in that situation. Lord, I pray that they would forgive. And Lord, I know You've taught me that forgiveness is not based on feelings. It's just a decision that You make. And so I pray for ones in the sound of my voice that has resentments against their father or hurt by their father or disappointed in their father, that they would forgive them. And Lord, we know it's not based on feelings. It's just a decision that we make. We know we're not saved on our feelings. Saved on faith. And God, I know that You honor obedience. So Lord, I just pray for those folks, Lord, that they will be obedient, walk out in faith, speak the words, and have power in life, and forgive. And Lord, for the fathers that are doing good and doing the best they can, we thank You for that. And a lot of the fathers just did the best of what they had to deal with. Maybe they didn't have good role models either. Lord, then we got those super fathers, Lord, we just thank them. They're role models that we can look to, and those good fathers, Lord, that we're raising good Christian godly homes. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that You'll raise them up in our church. Those good fathers, Lord, those fathers that know how to be a daddy and know how to be a grandfather. Father, I just pray right now that You'll raise them up to be leaders. You put a fire in their belly, Lord, that they would take on some leadership positions in our church. So they can start teaching young men and middle-aged men on how to be a man, how to be a father. Lord, don't let them crawl under a rock or under a board or under the house and hide anymore. Don't let them retire. I just pray, Lord, You put the hounds of heaven on them. Open up ministries here in our church, men's ministries. I pray for the men's ministry. I pray for Glenn, Lord. He's doing such a great job. Lord, there's more and more things I know that you want to do in our men and our church. Lord, I pray for the ones that are not coming to church and their wives are coming. I pray for those wives because I know they hurt. I know they struggle. Lord, I pray, Lord, for those husbands that are not coming. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that you put in their heart, Father, that they need to be men, example for their children, their grandchildren. Not only that, they need to be loyal and faithful to their wife and honor her. Lord, help us. We desperately need you, us men. Sometimes we put on a face. Lord, help us be honest and transparent with one another. Lord, help us reach out to other men, other young men, high schoolers, middle schoolers, college age. There's just not a lot of men out there teaching them how to be a good, godly man. Pray for our other churches in the area, Lord, the men's ministry will catch fire. Lord, you know what we need more than all this. So we trust you in Jesus' name, Father. Amen.